Well, rumors begin to spread that they're not just interested in Mexico, but in fact in New Orleans. And that what Burr has in mind is to start a secession movement in the West, once he controls New Orleans, to create a new republic, which he will lead. And the plan is that Wilkinson and Burr are to rendezvous in the, on the Ohio River in November of 1806. Well, at this point, Wilkinson warns Jefferson late in October, and Jefferson calls in his cabinet. He issues a proclamation against this conspiracy to filibuster. Unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately, depends on, we'll see, it depends on how you want to read the legal outcome of the case, Jefferson's proclamation dissolved whatever army Burr might ever have had. But Wilkinson, nonetheless, who is, by the way, not only the head of the army, but the military governor of Louisiana, imposes martial law in New Orleans, and Jefferson announces the suppression of the conspiracy on January 20th, 1807. Well, Burr surrenders in Mississippi in early 1807, and a federal grand jury refuses to indict him. There's no evidence that he's engaged in treason. Burr is still under bond, which he jumps, and tries to flee to British Florida. He's captured en route, taken to Richmond, which is the district court for Blennerhassett Island, which is in Virginia's jurisdiction, and it's the place where they're going to charge him with treason, the treasonable act having presumably occurred on December 10th, 1806, when the army was to have met. Presiding over this case will be John Marshall. Jefferson will personally run the prosecution, and he publicly, before the trial, pronounces Burr guilty. He pardons one of his associates, Eric Bowman, who had denied any treasonable intentions, says that all the talk of New Orleans was just a ruse to disarm the Spanish, that the real goal all along was Mexico. Well, once he's placed in court to testify against Burr, Bowman refuses to speak against him and refuses the pardon that Jefferson has offered him. And again, Burr is not implicated. Well, there are several problems with the case against Burr. Most obviously, the Constitution requires two witnesses to an overt act of treason. And Burr probably did conspire to do something, but he can't even be placed at the scene of the crime. Moreover, there's a problem with the conspiracy that Marshall points out. And that is that there never were any treasonable actions. So what was the underlying crime behind the conspiracy, if no crime actually was committed? What Jefferson is in fact looking for is the 17th century legal notion, the notion of constructive treason, one that the Enlightenment had helped to eliminate. Well, the trial starts on August 3rd with a jury pool of 10 Republicans, 4 quids, quids are ultra-Republicans, and 2 Federalists. When Jefferson learns of the jury pool, he's furious. It's unrepresentative, right? I mean, there's too many Federalists on the jury. And he's not particularly surprised when they acquit Burr on September 1. Well, then Jefferson demands a new trial, a state trial on the misdemeanor charges of conspiracy to filibuster, but Burr again jumps bond and runs to England. Now, what were the constitutional problems or due process problems? Burr was taken from his original jurisdiction without due cause. He was charged without an action. The whole nation knows Burr was up to something, but Jefferson comes out of this experience appearing to be vindictive and persecutorial. I think perhaps the biggest problem with the trial is that there is an alternate interpretation. And again, we can't know because we're taking Wilkinson's word for it. But this is another interpretation, because there's something that Jefferson doesn't know about Wilkinson. He's a paid spy for the Spanish government and an agent of the Spanish government. And in fact, when he breaks with Burr, he demands $120,000 for services rendered from Spain, which suggests that, in fact, Burr probably was aiming for Mexico. And he was trying to induce Wilkinson with talk of an assault on New Orleans. And when that didn't pan out, Wilkinson bailed on Burr. And as a result, Jefferson side with him to the end of his career. And Jefferson, although he knows that Wilkinson had been planning with Burr, is convinced to the end of his life that Wilkinson's actions, once he came to Jefferson's side, were thoroughly correct and honorable. Well, I want to turn finally, and most notoriously, to his actions during the embargo of 1807 and 1808. Now, the issue of the embargo deals with a couple facts. One, Jefferson believes in commercial coercion, that you a best way of solving foreign problems is by using trade war.